John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the words of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and shew unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full.
Good evening. Good to see everybody out this evening, and I hope that you've had a good afternoon and that you're glad to be back with us. We're certainly glad to have you with us. I want us tonight to take a survey through the book of 1 John, but I want to begin with this text towards the end of the book of John. In John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, he said these things. And truly many other things did Jesus in the sight of his apostles, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe, and in believing you may have eternal life. Now, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John recorded things that they were directed by the Holy Spirit, and they wrote for us that Jesus said and did. But John said, we didn't get it all. In fact, in the next chapter at the end, he says, if they had written everything, that they didn't think the world could contain all the books. So Jesus did and said a lot, and they didn't write it all down. But that which they did write down was important, because it was evidence for us that we might believe, and that through believing, we might have life. And so I want us to begin at the very beginning of 1 John chapter 1 and the text that Nick read for us. And I want us to think just a few things about that as we get into our lesson. Now, he begins with this, that which was from the beginning. Now, you know, we have the word beginning in several places in the Bible. In Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning God created the heaven and earth. And we know all about that. And then the book of John, the first chapter, the first verse says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But those two things are talking really about the beginning from everywhere, from the total beginning of everything. But in this text, in 1 John, I think he's talking about the beginning of this dispensation under which we live, and that they began living at from the cross forward. From the time of Jesus Christ and His ministry on earth, His death, burial, and resurrection, and then all, He's talking about that. That which was from the beginning, we heard. You know, they heard a lot. For instance, they heard the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. And they heard Jesus teach with parables. The kingdom of heaven is like, and anyone make the comparison. They saw and heard him when he was questioned by those trying to trip him up, and they heard the answers that he gave, that Jesus gave, never being tripped up, but rather throwing it off on them. We heard those things which we heard, and the things which we saw. Now, if you just close your eyes and try to picture some of the things that they saw. They saw Jesus walk on the water. They saw Jesus at His word calm a stormy sea. And that was such an amazing thing to them that they questioned, what manner of man is this that the wind and the waves obey Him? They saw Jesus' friend Lazarus come out of the tomb after he'd been in there for several days. You know, the statement was made, behold, he stinketh. They saw Him cure lepers, those that were blind, those that were deaf, those that couldn't walk. Amazing things that they saw. But on top of that, they saw him die physically. And there wasn't anything they could do about it. But then they saw the resurrected Christ. And that's really, for them, the beginning of all of this. The things we heard, the things we saw, that which we, it says in the King James, that our hands handled, but they touched. And I immediately thought of Thomas, who wasn't there when Jesus made one appearance unto the disciples after his resurrection, and he doubted them. Those men he'd been around with, you know, for literally 24/7 for 3 years, and he doubted them when they said he's alive. But Jesus appeared to them when Thomas was there, and what did he say? Come on, touch me. Touch me. They heard, they saw, they touched, and those things, he says, we declare unto you. What a witness. And it's not just John that would say this. All four of those gospel writers would say, and then those that wrote the rest of the books of the New Testament, they would say things about him, but every time they said, when they were preaching about Jesus, and he was seen, or we are his witnesses. And they wrote these things, similar to the text at the end of chapter 20 of book of John, they wrote these things that we might have faith, that we might believe, and that we might fellowship with them. You know, the people they wrote these to in the first century were alive and walking the face of the earth with them, and they would openly fellowship, but that we would also have fellowship with God and His Son, Jesus Christ, that our joy might be full. And so with that as the backdrop, I want us to go through the book of 1 John. In each chapter, I'm going to select one small piece of text, talk about it in a little bit of detail, and make our lesson out of this book. So in 1 John 1:7, it says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." Now that's the verse. But there's context to that. God, it says, is light. If you go backwards from verse 7 up to about verse 5, God is light. And on top of that it says, "And in Him is no darkness." God is light, and in Him is no darkness. Then he says, you cannot say that you have fellowship with God, who is light, if you're walking in darkness. You can't do that. But then he says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now, who do we have fellowship with? Well, the obvious answer is we have fellowship with fellow Christians, but we have fellowship with God. We have fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, because we're walking in the light. And then he says, following that, that when we're doing that, the blood of Jesus Christ will continue to cleanse us from all sin. Well, some would say, but you know what? He cleansed all my sins and I'm not sinning anymore. Well, you may not be living a life of sin anymore, but that doesn't mean you haven't committed any more sins. For the text says, we cannot say we have no sin, because if we do that, we're liars. Because we're human and we're going to do that. And that we must confess and repent of our sin. So think about that message that's in this text about walking in the light. Because at the end of it, it says God is just and He will forgive us of our sins. Then there's, right following that, the beginning verses in 1 John chapter 2. Now verse 3 says this, "Hereby we can know that we know Him if we keep His commandments." And you know, as a math teacher, particularly when you teach geometry, conditional statements are a big part of that discipline. If this, then this. Hereby we can know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. You see, we all want to have assurance. I know that regularly there are people who ask other people, maybe if they've come forward in some type of an assembly to to establish a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. They want assurance. Can I know I'm going to heaven? And if you ask a lot of those people that question, many of them will say, well, I hope so. Or I think so, but I'm not sure. But the Bible says we can be sure. This text is a conditional statement that lets us know we can be assured. Hereby we do know. Now think about that word compared to some other words we could put there. Think, feel, perhaps, maybe, I hope. We can know. What can we know? That we know Him. Now, Matthew 7:21, Jesus says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I say unto them, I never knew you. But this text says we can know that we know Him. How important is it to know Jesus? Because if we know Him, He knows us, and He's not telling us, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. If He knows us, here's the assurance for that. If we keep His commandments, we can know that we know Him. We can have assurance. But then He says, if you say you're keeping the commandments, if you say that you know Him, but you're not keeping His commandments, it says you're a liar. Now, 1 John chapter 1 said, if you say you have no sin, you're a liar. Now, this is written to Christians. And this one, he says, if you say you know Him, but you don't keep the commandments, you're a liar. What's the significance of that? All liars are going to be in the lake of fire. Not in heaven with Jesus. So keeping His word is the key. Now, do you think there's a difference between walking in the light and keeping the commandments? I don't. They're both based on the word of God. If we're walking in the light, we'll be keeping the commandments. If we keep the commandments, we can know that we know Him because we're in that relationship to Him. That walking in the light relationship to Him. Now, chapter 3. John wrote this. This is God's commandment. Now, God didn't just give one commandment and that covers everything. But this is one of God's commandments, that you believe on the name of Jesus Christ. Now, we know that's important. Because if we were to go to John chapter 3 and see what Jesus said regarding this, that those that do not believe on the name of the only begotten Son of God are condemned already. Believe on the name Lord Jesus Christ or be condemned. Or in John 8:24 he said, unless you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. It's important that we believe on the name of Jesus Christ. In Mark 16:16 he says, he that believeth not shall be damned. It's important that we believe on the name of Jesus Christ because God said it was. Because His Son said it was. Because the inspired men said it was. The Bible has it written in there truly. We have to believe in Him. But we also need to remember that believing is more than just saying in my heart, I believe in God. But I have to keep His commandments. If we keep His commandments, this text says, He dwells in us. The Bible clearly teaches in various places that God dwells in Christians, that His Son dwells in Christians, and that the Holy Spirit dwells in Christians. That's not a question. The question may be, and for another lesson, how does He do that? But we know for sure He does it through His Word, that He dwells in us through His Word. 1 John chapter 4. This is about one word, love. You see, love, he says, is of God. In another text, it would say, God is love. We are therefore to love one another. Well, Jesus said that while he was here in the upper room. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I've loved you. By this shall you know, all men know, that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. We're supposed to love one another. But that's not where the loving starts and stops. We have to love God with all we have. We have to love our neighbor, which is not necessarily one of us. Like in the example Jesus gave with the Good Samaritan, that wasn't who they would consider their neighbor. We have to love our enemies. Now, he says that to love is connected with being born of God. To love is connected with being born of God. If you don't love, you can't be born of God. To not love means you can't know God. You can't be part of God. Because God is love. Now we started this discussion with God being light. And He's love. And then in verse 10 it says this, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's the love. God sent His Son loving us. Romans 5:8. For God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's the love expressed by God and His Son, who was willing to die for us on the cross. How much do we love in return? But if we love one another, God dwells in us. If we keep His commandments, God dwells in us. 1 John 5, verse 4. We actually had this text as part of our lesson this morning. We have the opportunity for victory. And in this verse it says our victory has to do with our faith. And our faith begins with believing in God and believing that Jesus is His Son and that He came and died on the cross for our sins. But believing means more than just thinking it. We have to demonstrate it, like Noah. Now Hebrews 11:7 is a very important text in the Bible helping us to understand the idea of faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of things to come, was moved with fear and built an ark unto the saving of his house. And then there's the key. And he became the heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Did he become the heir of the righteousness which is by faith before he built the ark? Or after? Because he believed what God said about flooding the earth and everybody's going to die, but I'm not going to build that ark? Or because he built the ark? Or what about Abraham? Two different things he's mentioned in there by faith. One of them is that he agreed, he obeyed God, and he went to a place he'd never been before. And then later on he said, God said to him, I want you to offer up as a sacrifice to me your only promised son, Isaac. Abraham was willing to do that. By faith, he was willing to offer his son Isaac, believing in his heart that if God needed to fulfill his promises to him, especially that one that said, through your seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed, he would raise him from the dead. We are to love God and keep His commandments. This seems to be a common theme throughout this book, doesn't it? Walking in the light, keeping His commandments so we can know Him. Here's a commandment for you that you believe in the name of Jesus Christ. All these things are all rolled up together in this about what He expects of us so that we can be born of God. Because if we're born of God, if we, as Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1, about being purified. You've purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23. Being born of God, when we have done that, allows us to overcome the world. But if we're not born of God, we're still part of the world. And overcoming the world is the victory of our faith, because then we'll be truly in His likeness. You see, when God said, "Let us make man in our image," in Genesis chapter 1, He did. They made man in the image of God. That means he didn't look like God, but he had a spirit like God, different from every other part of the creation. When we're born again, we're truly made in the image of God, because we are born through obedience to Him and we totally become Him. We become that new person. We put off the old person and put on the new. We are born again. And thus we can overcome the world through His Son, Jesus Christ. Because when we're born again, we have put on Christ. Imagine that somebody told an army, "Here is some armor that you could put on all your soldiers. And if you have this armor on, nothing that exists in the world can kill these men. No bombs, no bullets, no bayonets, no nothing." How many of them would be scurrying out to get that armor? Or if there was fire suits that you could sell to fire departments, that when they wore that was a 100% guarantee they would never die in a fire. They'd all be buying those suits. But we've got the chance to put on armor in the form of Jesus Christ, who is the ultimate protection from the second death, and most people aren't scurrying out to get that. And it doesn't cost them any money out of their pocket. It just cost them a commitment. John's an interesting character. He describes himself in the book of John as in the third person, the man who Jesus loved. He wrote what we call the book of John, which is one of the four gospel accounts, but his is different than all the others in the way that he approached it. Then he wrote three epistles, 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, and 1st John's where we are tonight. Then he also wrote the book of Revelation, which is, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the most confusing book to more people than any other one in the Bible. In the beginning of that book, he wrote that Jesus appeared to him in a vision. And in the initial part, he said, Jesus said to him, "John, what you see, write in the book." So John did. But then, more specifically, he told him, "I want you to write letters to the seven churches in Asia." Now, most of us would be hard-pressed to think of all seven of those towns' names outside of Ephesus and one or two others. But that's not important. What is important is to see what John wrote them under the direction of the Holy Spirit. In every one of those letters, and all seven of them didn't receive a rebuke. The things Jesus told John about those churches, sometimes it would begin with things they were doing right. So, "I give you that you have this and you have that, but you've done this." One or two of them didn't receive a rebuke at all, just a compliment. And one of them didn't receive any pat on the back at all, just a rebuke. But every one of them received a statement similar to this: "To him that overcometh will I give." And then there's a statement that comes after that. Every one of them are different words, but they all really mean the same thing. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life. You know, the tree of life is mentioned in the Garden of Eden. And then it's mentioned again at the end of the Bible in Revelation 22 that it's there where the river of water of life is, where the throne of God is, where Jesus is, where there'll be no night there, where there'll be no more sorrow, pain, sickness, or death. All of that, the tree of life is there. So we kind of know what that means. To another one, he says, I will give to you that you won't be hurt of the second death. Well, the second death is also mentioned in Revelation chapter 20. At the end, when he says, whosoever's name was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. So we understand what that is. If we're not going to be hurt by the second death, means we're not going to the lake of fire. Means we're going to be in heaven with Jesus. He says, I will give to him to eat of the hidden manna. Now in Exodus and following, in those chapters that Moses wrote, those books that Moses wrote, about the Israelites leaving Egypt and headed towards the promised land and all the turmoils and stuff they had. Often they didn't have anything to eat, but God provided them food from heaven. It's called manna, bread from heaven. But in John chapter 6, Jesus talks about that and applies it to himself. He says, I am the true manna come down from heaven, and if any man will eat my flesh and drink my blood, and everybody's going, wait a minute, time out, what's he talking about? Jesus is the true manna, the bread of life. So we know what that means. To eat of that manna means we're eating the food that God has provided for us. He says, I will give them to have power over the nations. Now, he didn't empower them to be strong in this world to reign over all the nations of the earth, but rather that they're going to have a place to be with him where he's reigning. To be clothed in white, that suggests purity. But we're not pure by our own actions. How are we pure? Because the blood of Christ is on there. Though your sins be scarlet, they shall be white as snow. The blood of the Lamb does that. And your name will not be blotted out of His book. You know, it's possible for somebody whose name is in the Lamb's Book of Life for that name to be blotted out. This suggests it right here. I will write on him the new name of God. God's children, Christians. If you die in that state, guess where you're headed? I will give to sit with me in my throne. All this is talking about heaven, about us being in heaven. If we overcome, these things will be given to us. Well, what's involved in overcoming? We overcome Satan, self, and sin when we obey the gospel. When we become children of God, when we're born again, when we put on the new man, when we put on Christ. We also overcome the world as we live as a Christian when we grow and mature and add these things to our faith so we can make our calling and election sure, Peter would write. So that when we recognize that we have stumbled and committed a sin and now we're separated from God temporarily, that we can ask Him to forgive us, confess that sin, and He will forgive us because He's faithful to, because that blood of Christ is there for those of us walking in the light. So you may be here this evening and you're not a child of God because you've never obeyed the gospel. Or you are a child of God, but you're not in good standing because you've allowed the world to interfere in your life. We want to offer you an opportunity this evening to enjoy that fellowship that comes from walking in the light, in the Word of God, keeping His commandments, loving people as we should, overcoming. To be those who are born of God because they love God and they love His Son and they love one another and they love even their enemies. Won't you take advantage of this opportunity if we can assist you in any way to get your life right with God? Won't you come forward right now as we stand and sing our song of encouragement?